Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 358. Top of the day to you, Steph.
Top of the day to you. How's your voice going?
Good.
I mean, in and out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're all on the ride together. Sometimes I sound like Peter Brady.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just thinking.
In that episode when it's time to change, like,
you're going through puberty.
Rearrange. Yeah.
Oh, I've got a cup of tea as well.
You got a cup of tea. I got a strepsil in my mouth.
Going to keep stirring. Sorry.
That's okay. Oh, that's okay. It's a special. It's an Audible special. Not as in it's not a story on Audible. It's just you're enjoying.
Yeah, it's not sponsored by Audible at all. But
no.
Just enjoy this delight in your ears.
You're welcome.
You can never have enough hats, gloves, shoes, and we are the watchers, sweetie darling.
We saw a show together, a live show. We will be talking about that for you very soon. I've got a tale that I had no idea was even going on
at
the time.
As old as time?
No, it's probably about 10, 15 years old, to be honest with you.
Interesting.
And it's about, like, fanatics.
Just doing this.
Betty is here with us today. Instead of, you know how when cats... they just kind of sit on their side, stick their leg up in the air and clean their stuff. She is instead doing the splits.
Literally.
And is doing it that way. I've never seen a cat do that before, including her.
Usually one leg up, but this is the splits.
The amazing thing about cats is when they do something really stupid, the look on their face is like, God, you're dumb. And you're like, no, you're the one doing the dumb thing.
Why are you staring at me? So weird.
You are so weird.
You're the weird one. She's holding her leg up now. She's getting into dance. She's just stretching.
What I appreciate, right, is she's a black and white cat. So she's about 50% of both, do you reckon?
Yeah. So she's white underneath and black on top.
Yeah, and the white is very white, which means I don't think she knows this, but she does have to maintain that cleanliness.
I don't think she knows that.
She has no idea, but she's very clean. She's always cleaning herself. Not in like a manic way, not in like she's going to lose the fur.
No, but her feet look a little bit dirty.
She's been out in the garden.
She needs some boots.
Yeah, some little boots. Yeah. That'd be cute. A quiz for you.
Yeah.
I came up with, about 7 minutes it took me?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even written the answers. I already know them.
What if you're wrong?
Yeah. It's good.
I thought you were going to say, I'm not.
Well, I can't guarantee that. Have you heard this voice? You can see how much effort it is just to say this. Can you imagine how my brain's going?
Yeah. Well, then,
too bad.
You know what? I think I got all of them right.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
is that the end of the episode?
Done. See you next week.
On that note. all right. We should get into this thing. I don't know. Have you heard this before? Hang on. Let me see if I get the pronunciation right.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, cool.
I was going to offer to do it for you, but then you just went for it.
Well, you can say the watching suggestion thing later.
Okay. Sure. Whatever, Leah.
Okay.
I was going to keep making you talk for longer and longer.
Okay,
I'm going to be asking you a lot of questions.
about the thing that we both saw?
Yeah.
Great. Fantastic.
Just get your opinion on it.
Who starred with Robin Wright in Forrest Gump?
Tommy Babe.
Yeah, Mr. Hanksy Boy.
Yeah, Hanksy Boy, Tommy Babe.
they're probably going to do it. Well, they definitely are doing another movie together.
But not Forrest related.
No. It's just that 30 years ago they made Forrest Gump.
That's
and
cool.
Now they're making another one.
Gosh, that's big shoes to fill. Even if it's not Forrest related, that's big shoes to fill.
It sounds very different. So it's a single shot film in one room and also features de-aging technology. So maybe we will see them, what they look like, what they would have looked like. Well, what they did because we saw them in Forrest Gump.
Interesting.
It takes place entirely, like I said, in a room, and it follows multiple generations of families, which is why the de-aging has to take place.
Okay.
In order for them to, I'm assuming, look
What's
like.
What's it about?
Okay, so they play a couple and they kind of follow them throughout the years. Okay. So it's their family all in this one room. I'm kind of interested.
Me too.
The whole thing, though, is that the rest of the article from Hollywood Reporter was mainly about how they had starred in a movie together before and they were like, this is so cool.
So they don't have a lot of information. Get to be in this
again. I'm really excited. Yeah, I think they're not allowed to say much. But the one thing I always think about Forrest Gump is, yes, it was a good movie. Yes, we've all probably seen it at least two or three times, right? 30 years, 10 years, every 10 years
every you watch 10 it years, again. Click back in.
It's actually quite a long film.
It's really long. That's my first impression of it. Whenever I think, do I want to watch Forrest Gump again? Oh, it's long.
But just out of interest, we're not going to check the times or anything. I just want to go by vibe, like your feel, your vibe. Forrest Gump, would you sit down and watch that, or Titanic? Which one feels longer? See, in my head, I think Titanic is longer.
Yeah. This might be a controversial thing to say.
You didn't like
but
it?
But is But is that because not much happens in Titanic? As in?
Potentially, because Forrest Gump is spanning a long time.
There's a lot of time-sensitive political things.
Years,
it could have, right? So there's a lot more.
Lots going on.
In the storyline and the characters going on. Whereas Titanic, the boat sinks.
Yeah. I also think.
Spoiler. Sorry.
My memory of that Titanic, when it came out, like, yes, very popular, My Heart Will Go On, do the thing at the front. Leonardo DiCaprio, very famous at the time. That made him even more famous. But I also remember there was this discourse about how long it was.
100%. I agree.
And I think I still remember just that discourse.
Was it 3 hours and 15 minutes?
Something like that.
And it was crazy that it was that long at the time. And we still went.
And now movies are super long.
Did we go because it was so long?
No, because everybody was talking about it. Yeah. Everybody went to see it.
Yeah.
Because, because that was the kind of time where there weren't 5 million streaming services.
No.
In fact, no, we would have had cable TV here in Australia, we would have, but not many people would have had it, I don't think.
No, not at all.
And therefore, you know, going to the movies, you pretty much knew what movies were going to be there.
Mm.
Or if you looked at the movies in the newspaper or whatever, you'd be like, ah, yeah, I know that one, I know that one, I know that. I've heard of all of these.
Yeah.
And there was usually one or two that you would pick that you would be interested in going to see. Now I think that's not so much the case because everything else is on streaming services.
There's so much more available.
It's different stuff too.
Different stuff, and you can pick it.
Yeah.
It's like we are going to the movies but in our lounge rooms because we get to choose what we want to watch rather than being like, oh, it's 7:30, four channels.
Yeah.
I'll watch this one.
Yeah. There were five channels.
Okay, but not everyone counted.
And you didn't watch SBS as a kid.
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore was another movie that I feel like most people would have seen.
Yes.
Maybe not at the movies, but you would have seen it. You would have gotten out on video or DVD.
Yeah.
You probably would have watched it on TV because people kind of spoke about it. Like that, Happy Gilmore and.
It was at the height of his.
Yeah.
Was it not? The height?
There were two of them, Happy Gilmore and another one. I can't remember what it was called.
It was on the top of my tongue just then and then it left.
Yeah, I get them mixed, like they're kind of in my head, they're the same movie, but they're not. But they were around the same time. And Happy Gilmore, if I go by the premise of what I remember watching, he was a ice hockey player and then he started playing golf.
Yeah.
And apparently
something Madison.
Billy Madison. That was it. That was where he had to go to, like, it was kindergarten. He went to kindergarten as an adult. Yeah. Happy Gilmore, he was a hockey player playing golf. So Happy Gilmore 2 is being made for Netflix.
Okay.
I don't know what it's about. They're like, this is from Deadline. Details of the roles are under wraps as is the sequel's plot. But Adam Sandler's definitely playing Billy Madison again.
Does he have a deal with Netflix? Because I feel the last few have all been Netflix releases. And I know this one will be a success because people love it.
Or are just interested enough to watch a sequel.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'll watch it. It's on Netflix. I'll watch it.
I'll wait for you to tell me about it.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I'm interested.
Mm.
I've never really been an Adam Sandler fan. And around the time of Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison, I found him very annoying.
But he got worse. he got a little bit worse, right?
He did get a little bit worse. And then he did that murder mystery one.
They were good.
He was good in that.
And the Gems one. He calmed it down a bit. I think they were all Netflix.
Maybe Netflix has been like, you don't need the silly voice.
There was one about couples, like happy couples or something, or grown-ups, or grown-ups, I think it was called.
Was that?
Yeah, maybe about 10 years ago. They weren't bad either. Mm. There were two of them. I think David Spade was in it, I think.
Mm. Mm. But they're a group, aren't they?
Oh, like, potentially. Wedding Singer, that was okay.
That was a good one. But I had Drew.
Yeah.
Same with 50 First Dates. Mm. Drew. Made that a little bit more.
It was a draw card.
Yeah.
Draw card.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's good. I like that one.
So much. So just be very excited about that or not. Happy Gilmore 2.
Mm.
Something I am a bit interested in, and I remember hearing about this a few months ago. There's an Amazon series being created, and it's an anthology kind of one. So think about like your Love, Death and Robots anthology series where they would have each episode was a completely different look, a completely different story set in a completely different world. None of them were related.
Black Mirror.
Yeah, that kind of thing. This one's called Secret Level. And the reason every episode is going to be really different is because they're all based on or in video game worlds.
Oh.
And I remember there was a lot of talk about them, particularly one of them, which was, I don't know if they're still going to do it, based on a new game from PlayStation called Concord, which was sort of like a multiplayer, I'm just trying to think what it was called. It was a very colorful game. There were two of them. I think it was from Blizzard or Activision. Anyway, thank you for screaming at me because I can't believe I Overwatch.
You heard them.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, and it was kind of supposed to be a bit like that, bit of Guardians of the Galaxy kind of thing. And even though apparently there was nothing technically wrong with it, no one bought it.
Mm.
So PlayStation shut it down, gave everybody that bought it a total refund.
Really?
And no one knows what's happening to it. But
binned.
I know, it's weird, right?
Can't believe they would give them a refund.
Just like total refund, whether you want it or not, you're getting it for digital copies. Like obviously if you've got the physical, you've still got it, but it wouldn't do anything.
No.
You couldn't play it. Secret Level has an episode about that. At least that's what it's supposed to have. It was supposed to be one based in that world. Others are from all over the place. I'm talking PlayStation, Xbox, like third party kind of things. You're God of War. I think there might be an Aloy one. I think there. I'm saying things that potentially are incorrect. Maybe Halo, like big games that you know, your Diablo kind of stuff. But the really cool thing is some of the people whose voices you may hear in it.
Tell me.
Kevin Hart, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Keanu Reeves.
Nice.
There is a massive list, but they are all three, particularly Arnold and Keanu. They are A-list, triple A-list. So Eddie has now taken over where Betty was sitting, but he's not sitting. He's actually lying completely on his back, looking, staring directly in Stephanie's eyes.
But he did it really dramatically. He just... Not that he fell, he kind of just went, oh, look at this.
Oh, my God, what is with these two today? They're so funny.
They're in the exact same spot.
Can you tell they're from the same litter? They do the same thing.
Yeah, it's just bizarre.
Anyway, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Keanu Reeves, Secret Level coming to Amazon Prime soon. I am really looking forward to it. I want to know what these one-off stories set in these famous video game worlds, what they're going to be. But I'm nowhere near as excited as I am about the quiz coming up for us very soon. It's about Absolutely Fabulous.
Nice. I think I'll get it. I got stressed that I wouldn't.
I didn't either. Eddie is still staring at you.
Yeah. Okay. He's just being hilarious and I can't stop. He stared at the ceiling for a little bit and did an action like, how you doing, to the ceiling.
He's a little bit Joey, I reckon. Yeah. His personality is a bit Joey.
Yeah. Joey.
No, he's not going to. No. Lost his collar today. No idea where it is.
No.
That is his sixth or seventh collar. He's won.
Gosh.
Yep. Okay. Let's get into some watching
suggestions.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Well, the first thing that we're both going to talk about is that this week we went and saw Joanna Lumley live on stage.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit different to what I thought it was going to be, but not too different.
I think I was expecting that, but I was expecting a little bit more of a well-rounded.
Okay.
What's the word? Synopsis of her life.
Yeah.
You know, she focused a lot on the travel docos.
Which became obvious.
Yes.
Because the person that came out on stage with her maybe about a third of the way through.
Yes.
Was her producer of all of the travel documentaries that she's done. And she's done an awful lot of them.
Yeah.
But she, of course, had to talk about how she grew up in India. That's where she was born, moved over to Hong Kong, Malaysia. Her father was in the military or the army or something like that for England, and then eventually moved back to England herself for boarding school.
Went to boarding school.
Yeah, went to boarding school there. And spoke about how she went into modelling and then acting, and then, of course, she had to talk about Patsy.
Yes.
Of course, from Absolutely Fabulous. Like, that's how most people know
her.
Yeah,
people were really excited to hear that. The thing that got me, which I don't know in hindsight why I'm surprised by it, but she had the most exquisite descriptive storytelling language that just naturally came out of her. Very similar to Nigella Lawson, how Nigella will describe, you know, biting into a pomegranate and you're taken on this huge narrative. She was very similar like that, and she just swept you up and took you along for this ride. And sometimes she would start describing things and you're like, where is this going to go? What is she describing?
I'm on board. I'm on board
with this beautiful voice.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, if you've seen her in anything except for Patsy, Absolutely Fabulous, her voice is very different to Patsy.
Different.
And she explains what she does to be Patsy.
Yes.
She lowers her voice. Because Patsy would have been was a heavy drinker and everything else for many, many years. So her voice, of course, would be.
But it did sound like a lot of Patsy was evolved from her creating a backstory for Patsy and not so much Jennifer Saunders.
Not a Jennifer Saunders
thing. I assumed it would be Jennifer Saunders, but maybe it actually came the other way around. She was like, no, Patsy is the kind of person who would have done X, Y, and Z. So that's why she talks like this. That's why she behaves like this. And I thought, oh,
she's
is she not intelligent or what?
What I liked about her was, yes, her storytelling is very descriptive and everything, and would have to have been scripted for her, probably in her own words, just so that she remembers to tell the story.
Yeah.
Like a stand-up comedian would, right? But because she's an actress and she has done hosting of TV shows for so long, it's very natural. Like, it feels like she's telling you something that she, I mean, she is very interested and passionate about, but you can feel it, you know, and it feels like it's a special thing that she's telling you.
I agree.
I thought it would be more along the lines of when Jennifer Saunders came out here to kind of do a tour of her book, her autobiography, where it was her and
being sort of interviewed.
Interviewed by a journalist or whoever, someone from the ABC. I can't even remember who it was now, but.
Yes.
But I thought it would be more like that and less like Dawn French, who came out and was talking about her life not long ago, which we enjoyed. But it was kind of a mixture. It was somewhere in the middle.
If she hadn't have had the producer come out,
it
would have
very
Dawn, which in hindsight, again, is very indicative of Jennifer Saunders' personality, where she would not be able to come out and hold that standing on 2 feet, not because she can't or is not capable of it.
She writes things down, and she's
a bit more of an introvert, yeah. Whereas Dawn is absolutely not an introvert, and nor is Joanna.
Yeah. And
Joe, which Joe. Surprised me. Stop calling her Joe.
Another thing I was going to say.
She's not a Joe.
She's not a Joe, even though in story she was like, hi, I'm Joe. And I'm like, excuse me? The same way Sandra Bullock is not Sandy. She's not Sandra. She's Sandra Bullock.
She's Sandra Bullock.
Joanna Lumley is not Joe. She's not Joanna. She's Joanna Lumley. Okay?
Yeah.
And the
producer, I was like, stop being so casual with her. That is Joanna Lumley standing on the stage.
You've never met her before because I don't know you.
Yeah. Listen, producer, do you know that she met the king that afternoon and was wearing the same outfit?
She doesn't care. I was like, she's Joanna brilliant. Lumley.
Dame.
She is. That's true.
Joanna Lumley. We can add that on, but we're not dropping the A double N A.
Okay, guys, leave it be. There were questions. And you could write your questions down at halftime, I was going to call it, interval, if you went out. And I was like, I can't be bothered to do that.
Nah.
And Dale was like, what are you going to say? He's like, you should write one down. What would you write? I'm like, if there was a sudden panic and Steph pushed me towards a microphone that I had to talk into to ask a question like I did for Jennifer Saunders, I would come up with something. But to write something down, I don't think I could do it.
No, writing Not is a because- different –
Because I want to know the vibe and I want to do something that's an in-joke for everybody there, including Joanna Lumley or Jennifer Saunders, and that is an easy response for her. And I'm hoping
– laugh.
This is all a radio thing, right? I'm hoping it will help her do the next thing that she plans to do.
Yeah. I will be the skeptic.
I don't think any of them were written by anyone. Maybe one or two.
I saw the cards outside for people to write, but I was watching the producer because he was the one reading them. And he kept collating them. And every time he went, oh, I've got three sort of along the same lines, the last one he read would end up in one pile and the others discarded on another. So I was like, oh, he's inserted his set questions.
Yep.
So that they both know what stories they need to tell.
Yeah, because I found that bit a little bit frazzle. Like he would be like, oh, I've got this question from Marty in Northern Beaches. There are a lot of people who were just from the Northern Beaches.
There were a lot of people from Newcastle.
They're asking what news have you got? And then Billy Bob from Campbelltown is asking, have you got news? And then Whitney from Bankstown has asked, what is the news about the next thing you're doing?
Yeah.
You're like,
I get, oh, it's nice. You might hear your name called out, but if you're going to fake it, just fake it.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit confusing, but I enjoyed the rest of it.
Because also the segues into the accompanying videos were just a bit too segued.
It was always like, Joanna going, oh, we've got a video about it. Oh.
And then she'd forget. And the next one she'd be like, and here's a video. That was not a
just
real question.
Just do it. Yeah. Just it doesn't matter. I having said that, I really enjoyed it.
I really
it. I
enjoyed
it.
It was
wonderful.
It was a fantastic night out.
And as I said to some people at work, that is the Holy Trinity.
Mm.
I've seen
spot on.
Jennifer. I've seen Dawn.
Hey,
I've
do you know
Joanna.
What though? All three of them mentioned Ruby Wax almost immediately in their shows. All three of them.
I've seen Ruby Wax as well, but she wasn't as good. Like her the first half was good and then the second half was a bit self-helpy book-like.
Did I go?
I think you might have.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Was it the same or center?
Yeah, I think I did
go. She sat down. Yeah.
Do you feel like Ruby Wax would be a bit of hard work?
I think so. The rest of them would be our best friend and she would be the friend of our best friend.
Jennifer Saunders would be the one that we're like, oh, she's so difficult. She's not being our best friend yet.
She never agrees to come out.
I'm going to have to work extra hard on this girl.
Dawn always comes along.
Dawn I won in about 4 seconds. Her and I are besties by 5 seconds. Jennifer, I'd be like, why are you not laughing at me?
Because
she
I'm the funny
me.
One.
She hates me.
You're like, yes, you are the funny one, but you have to laugh at me as well because I'm trying really hard.
Because it's a friendship and we share.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Laughs.
Now.
Another thing that I watched this week was something that Daggy reminded me about. And I say that because I did see it existed and then I forgot about it immediately. Not immediately. It was just that it wasn't out yet. It is on Disney here in the star section, but originally on Hulu. So if you're in the US Hulu, it's called Fanatical, The Catfishing of Tegan and Sarah. If you don't know who Tegan and Sarah are, get out. What are you doing? You should know us by now. And even though we may have never said their names before on this podcast, you should know that we love them very much. But not as much as other people, apparently. Tegan and Sarah are sisters, twin sisters from Canada. They're Canadian too. And
small group.
It's like three people. Yeah. And they have a band. It's just the two of them, but they always have a band, but it's the two of them. And they make music, they sing songs together, and they tour the world. And they have had many, many albums since, I think, officially the late 90s.
Yeah.
And we discovered them, I reckon, if I said about 2003, 2004, like that Walking with the Ghost.
Yeah.
I am walking with the ghost. He said, please, please don't. I said,
How did you find them?
I think it was Triple J, to be honest with you, because we used to listen to Triple J at work all the time.
Yeah.
And I think, I would hear that song, No Matter Which Way You Go. I'm like, this song's fun. And then I got the album. And my memory of Tegan and Sarah is driving when I was working out in Dubbo, I would listen to them going, like, traveling back to Sydney. When we went to America and we drove up the West Coast, we listened to a couple of their albums.
Yeah.
That and I think The Con, I think they were the two that we would have had then. And this is how much of fans we are. We would have heard their albums many, many times.
Yeah.
Many times. We've seen them maybe two or three times live.
Mm-hmm.
We did not realize, we did not even enter our brains that each song was sung by a different sister, and the sister that wrote that song was the one that was singing it in each song.
I can't tell their voices apart.
Until we went to the concert and we were like, you're singing that song.
Lovely sisters they are, having a little share.
So this is the level of fandom that we are at, right? I'm kind of setting us up, right?
Pretty basic.
We're basic, but we love it, but we're not that involved, are we?
No. I listen to their songs and I know their sisters. That's that finish.
I sometimes forget that I interviewed Tegan for the radio. And it was a beautiful moment and I was so excited. And it made my radio station play them because I got that interview.
Yeah.
And then we played, I remember, Closer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway. So that's where we are. Fanatical, The Catfishing of Tegan and Sarah, is about a different level of fan.
A super fan.
A super fan, you would call them. Next level. Now, for years, I mean, still now probably, right, they exist. But in the early days of the internet where the mass populated internet, before social media, there were message forums.
Yep.
And you would join it. You would join your Tegan and Sarah message forum and you would hear news about them, where they're going to tour, who went and saw the concert. I'd bootlegged, recorded this song.
Yeah.
Have a listen to it. I've put it on this whatever. And those fans would become friends with each other, meet up at concerts, that kind of thing. It's not just Tegan and Sarah. This is every band or singer around that time, right? And at the time, Tegan and Sarah were not massive, massive. So Tegan and Sarah, to a lesser extent, I learned this in the documentary, she would go out after the concert or before the concert started when the audience was lined up to get into the theatre, just say, hey, how's it going? You know, can't wait for you to come in and, you know, we'll do a good concert, sign stuff at the merch store, have photographs taken, that kind of thing. So the fans on these message boards felt like they were extra good friends with Tegan.
Yeah.
So when it came time for Facebook to come around and people were joining Facebook and, you know, becoming friends with the people they knew, but also maybe the people that they met on these message forums, for some it was very exciting. that Tegan would become their friend on Facebook and then DM them and just be friends, just friendly stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Apparently some have got a little bit flirty with a few of them.
Okay.
But she would share stuff like, oh, I'm in Colorado today. We're doing a concert. And they'd be like, well, I know that. I know she is because I saw it on the message forum. And then it started – and then some people would start getting messages like, this is a demo I wrote today. Don't tell anyone. I'm sending it to you. Tell me what you think.
Mm.
And then in the documentary, Tegan, the real Tegan, would be like, that was an actual demo of mine. I have no idea
how they got it.
How they got it. And it was a new, they would be new demos. And this documentary is all about this fake Tegan or Fegan, as they called they called this person, and trying to find out years later, like now, who it was.
Did they find out who it was?
And they were getting in contact with some of these people who had been befriended by this fake Tegan and, you know, trying to get ideas. And at the time that they knew there was a fake Tegan, because all of a sudden this fake Tegan had found scans of all of their Tegan and Sarah and their crews and management's passport photos.
What?
And passports and where they were going and their private emails and everything like that. And it was early days of all this cybersecurity, right?
Yeah.
So they didn't really know what to do. So the management was trying to figure it out themselves, right? Instead, this day and age, you'd just get a cybersecurity team, like a firm or something on the case. But this was not how you did it back then. And then this Fegan was befriending people who were quite young female fans, right? And what they did in this documentary was they got a guy who was a bit of an expert in figuring out who, like, what do you call them, like profilers? And he said numerous times in the documentary, this was a young girl. This was a young female doing this.
Yeah.
And they thought they had tracked down who it was. And Tegan and the documentary filmmaker confronted this person and that they got really like, shady and angry and defensive.
But did they know them? It wasn't like an insider person. Yes, they knew.
No. I won't tell you what happens in the end.
I can't cope.
I won't tell you what happens in the end. It's about an hour 40 minutes long. You are invested the whole entire time.
Yeah.
Now, Tegan and Sarah, just look them up. You're going to know at least one of their songs, and I guarantee to you the one that you know will be Everything Is Awesome, Everything Is Cool When You're Part of the Team. That's them, along with the Lonely Whatever They're Called guys. But they have many other songs. It doesn't matter if you know Tegan and Sarah. This is fascinating.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing that has happened many times to people who aren't famous.
Mm.
And it has probably happened to many times to people who have been famous, but like Tegan and Sarah at the time, they stifled it. They didn't let anybody know. It was a bit of a secret because they didn't want to know what would happen to them if the news got out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, is it really a real Tegan or is it a fake Tegan? Like, what are you doing? How can you do this to your fans? Kind of things they kept it a secret until now. Really interesting. Fanatical, the catfishing of Tegan and Sarah.
Wow.
Mm. You watched something last night.
I did.
You were really proud of yourself.
Well, I think you're going to be really surprised.
Is it fanatical, the catfishing tip?
No, because I wouldn't be answering those questions. True, like true, I'm true, desperate true. To turn off air so that I can actually
tell you exactly what happened in the end.
Yeah. I've got so many unanswered questions. I don't know if I'm impressed with myself or a little bit embarrassed. I dabbled in the Marvel Universe. I watched something that's made by Marvel Productions.
Can I guess what it is?
Okay.
Just because I saw it up on the Disney.
Are you going to get it then?
Is it Agatha all along?
Yes.
Now, there's a podcast that I've been trying to get you to listen to.
Yeah, I keep forgetting.
It's called Morning Somewhere. It's Bernie Burns from Rooster Teeth and Ashley Burns, who used to be Ashley Jenkins from Rooster Teeth, but she was like the no and the patch and all that kind of stuff. Now they're married, they're in Scotland now. Mm. She has been watching it as well.
Oh, so you already know about it?
I just know that she likes it.
Okay.
And I think you and Ashley are very similar people. I'm not even joking. So That's why as soon as you said it, I was like, I think she's watched what Ashley's watching.
My bestie Ashley and I. Okay, so what got me? I didn't know it was a Marvel production straight away, and probably lucky because had I known, I wouldn't have pressed play. But the description was mystery fantasy, and I thought,
That's got me interested.
Interested, or how could that possibly work? Mystery gets me. Fantasy, I usually go, no thanks.
But they're witches, right?
They're witches. Yeah. Okay. So only knowing that it's mystery fantasy, and it said something like Agatha solves long-standing old cases or something like that, and I thought, I'll give it a go.
And it's, what's her name, Catherine Kahn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is getting, she's like a fine wine. She's getting better and better and better, and every character she does, phenomenal.
I've just had a horrible thought. What if other people who know her call her Kath or Kat?
Just call her fine wine. Okay?
Okay.
So in the first episode particularly, you are very much taken for a wild ride.
In that you have no idea what's going
on. You have no idea what is going on. You think you do, and then something happens and you're like, what the actual is going on? So it starts and Agatha appears at a crime scene. A body has been discovered. The police there do know her, and she rocks up and she's very much, you know, got the sense of
authority.
Authority, but those, you know, those the detectives, those like loner detectives where you're like, well, there
you're not Joan, what's his, Harry Ole, yeah, Harry Hole, like, Harry
there
Ole.
There is something Hole? Going on.
Ole. How do they pronounce
it? I don't know.
Harry Hole.
There's a lot Jonas. Going on in the backstory of this person, but she clearly knows what she's doing.
Okay.
And, you know, sees the body and is, you know, ordering scrapes of feet and all of that and fingernails and check this out and blah, 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 blah. And then just weird sort of occurrences keep happening and Aubrey Plaza arrives.
It's Aubrey Plaza. She's in it.
And she's a fed from the FBI.
And has she been fed?
I don't know. She's a bit skinny. She's a little bit skinny.
Okay.
And she very much knows Agnes, and there's a little bit of a rivalry there, but you can't quite tell, like, is she here to oversee the case or is she here to take it away from Agnes? And then chaos ensues.
Mm.
And you start to understand that perhaps Agnes is suffering from mental health issues, and everybody in the town is just sort of placating her. And at this particular moment, one of her neighbors is like, you're having a lucid moment, so I'll just explain to you what's going on. And so you think, oh, okay, so we're going down this route. And then Aubrey Plaza appears back at her door, and she's an evil witch.
So Aubrey Plaza's an evil witch.
Yeah, and she's trying to get Agnes Hartnett, who is also a witch.
So they're all witches.
So within the first few moments, you're like,
what's going on?
What happened to the dead body on the side of the road?
Oh, so we don't even know if it. Okay.
Not quite. Okay. Not quite. There's a lot going on. There's magical and mysterious things happening on the toe tag of the body. There are names just appearing out of nowhere. Anyway, it essentially what's happening is Agnes was one of the great witches. And for some reason that we don't know yet, she has lost her powers and she's been sort of ousted of the witch community. And a young 16-year-old boy appears who seems to have a lot of knowledge about witches, but he also seems to need Agnes's help. Mm-hmm. So we don't know what his motives are, but Agnes has to decide, am I going to go back in to Witchland, essentially, which she's kind of forced into because Aubrey Plaza brings the bad news that a group of seven very awful witches are coming for her tonight. So I really do believe, Leah, that you would like this.
You reckon you like it?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure because there are some scary bits in it.
Oh, okay.
And I think.
So it's not Marvel-y for you?
to some of the witches a bit scary. And I think, I don't know if I want to watch this. And I was watching it at night time.
Okay. Yeah.
However, if you're really wanting to get into the Halloween spirit, this is the one to start
with. This is the one.
Because it's not what you've ever seen before.
Cool. And something new. I like
it. It's really new, but it brings in all of that history of witches from whenever.
Salem stuff.
But not even just that, like Disney witches. Oh, all, right. Every connotation of witches are referred into that. And interesting story.
I think I'd know my fair share of witches. Because you've got like your Sabrina teenage witch.
Yeah.
You've got your Bewitched, your Samantha kind of witch. You've got your like Disney witches. You've got Blair Witch, which I've never seen because it's too scary.
Too scary.
Okay, cool. So you and Ashley reckon it's not too bad. It's interesting.
It's interesting.
Interesting.
I think I'll dabble again.
And Kathy Khan's in it. I feel like she would kill me.
Call her Kathy.
I feel like she would kill me.
She is not a Kathy.
I don't think she would like that.
She's probably a Kit.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
I'd give her that.
I like that. Do you want a quiz?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
It's about Ab Fab. I've got no answers written down because I'm pretty confident I know the answers.
I feel stressed that my reputation is on the line and I'm going to get it wrong.
What suburb of London does Adina live in?
Oh, my God.
It's not Shepherd's Bush.
It's not Shepherd's Bush. It's Holland Park.
Good job. What country did Patsy sell Safi to the white slave trade?
Morocco.
Mm-hmm. Which character was nominated for and an award? An award. Gee, this is really difficult. At the PRPR person's dinner of the month lunch.
That was Adina.
She didn't win. Spoiler,
no, she didn't.
Sorry, spoiler.
Spoiler alert, but she made it known.
How many kids does Eddie have?
She's got two.
Where did they end up finding Eddie's son, Serge? It was a special.
Yeah, I know it was a special and I can't remember it.
Whoopi Goldberg was in it.
Was it Africa?
No, it was New York.
New York.
Concrete Jungle Where Dreams Are Made.
I don't remember that.
Final question. What is another word for this? You can never have enough hats, gloves, and shoes.
Accessories.
That's it. Yeah, and that was the one where Dawn French was in it. Do you remember?
Yeah.
She was the host.
Yeah.
On that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
A statue. Great big ugly fatless, ugly armless statue.